welcome to the Poem of the Week. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark A. Bell. Gentlemen.
Good day, Mark.
Good day, Dr. Wilkes.
How are you doing?
Doing well. Classes have ended. It's semester's winding down, so it's kind of nice to think about next semester and kind of get ready for that.
We're going to talk a little bit about pneumococcal pneumonia, not so much about the disease, a little bit about the diagnosis. But by way of background, as listeners will be aware, that this is a big deal on pneumococcal pneumonia. 4 million cases of pneumonia a year in the U.S. The most common agent for hospitalization in all age groups. The epidemiology, strep pneumonia is the most common cause of community-acquired pneumonia, but still, it's only isolated in 5 to 18% of cases. In the remainder of those cases, it's just a presumed diagnosis. There has been a resurgence of outbreak of pneumococcal pneumonia, particularly in chronic care facilities, and many of those involving antibiotic-resistant strains. So in the past, we've relied heavily on the old history and physical. Sometimes we see an opacity on a chest x-ray, and that helps us establish the diagnosis of pneumonia. Although lobar consolidation can suggest some sort of bacterial process, as we all know, the x-ray does not reliably differentiate a bacterial from a non-bacterial pneumonia. So is the Gram stain and culture helpful? Well, it's often difficult to determine the cause. As one example, the cause was identified in only 51% of 200 patients with community-acquired pneumonia, all of them requiring hospitalization. In the rest of these, it was not ever determined cause of the pneumonia. There are two problems that contribute to the difficulty in identifying the bug. One of them is that people are unable to produce a good sputum specimen, and the other problem is that people have often received some sort of antibiotic, even if briefly, prior to the production of a specimen. So culture can be helpful. It remains a source of some controversy as well, and is not highly sensitive or specific. So that is a lead-in to a study published in the Archives of Internal Medicine. It asks a great clinical question, which is, in hospitalized patients with community-acquired pneumonia, how useful is pneumococcal urinary antigen testing in the diagnosis of this disease? Mark, what did the authors find?
Yeah, this was a pretty good study. It's a great question. I mean, there were a couple limitations we'll talk about in terms of the methods, but overall, a very solid study. The, you know, as you said, it's a very simple test, pretty widely used. So how helpful is it really? And they recruited consecutive adults who were hospitalized with community-acquired pneumonia from a large teaching hospital during 1 year, and they all underwent this urinary antigen testing at the discretion of the attending physician. The gold standard for diagnosing pneumococcal pneumonia was actually isolating bacteria in the blood or in the pleural fluid, and a probable diagnosis was defined as isolation of bacteria in a Gram stain and culture or by a positive PUA test. And so that's one of the issues with the study, is they had the positive PUA test as part of the reference standard. So they really weren't independent, and that's going to inflate the accuracy of the test. Now, it wasn't the only gold standard, but it was part of it. The study included 464 patients. They were about 64 years old. Two-thirds were dudes. So pretty typical hospitalized community-acquired pneumonia group. Of them, roughly a third had a probable or definite pneumonia, and pneumococcal pneumonia. Almost half of the group was diagnosed by positive PUA alone. The test was performed in 78 patients with definite or probable pneumococcal pneumonia and was positive in 55 of them, so the sensitivity that they calculated was about 70%. So it's going to identify about 70% of people that have pneumococcal pneumonia. The specificity was very good. Of those who had a non-pneumococcal pneumonia, only a couple of them were positive, so the specificity was 96%. And what they also looked at was, did that change physician behavior? And getting that positive test result back, did reduce the spectrum of antibiotics in 41 of the patients. So that's a good thing. In 41 out of the 55, they said, well, instead of giving, you know, cefakilidol, we're going to be able to target pneumococcal pneumonia more narrowly. So as I said, there were some limitations. You know, the testing and reference standards were done at the discretion of the physician. The reference standard was included in the test, so that could bias things a little bit in favor of the test. But the bottom line is that this does appear to be at least a very specific test, and that a positive result can make us very confident in pneumococcal pneumonia and can help us to narrow the therapy to be, you know, both more targeted, less likely to induce resistance, and hopefully less expensive and able to get the patient out of the hospital sooner.
Do we know anything about cost and how available is this test? Is this something that most hospitals know?
It's very widely available, and it's not a very expensive test. I can't give you a dollar figure, but from what I recall, it's not a terribly expensive test.
Very interesting. Something that we can immediately put into practice, and maybe will make a difference. Good. We'll talk again next week. Thanks for reviewing that, Mark.
Okay.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.